There's no time like the present. And there's no presents under the tree. It's the news, according to me. Good Wednesday morning. It's trash day here at the household. Trash day. That's not trash talk day. It's just trash day. I got to take the trash over to the dump. Once a week, people in my county are allowed to go to the county dump and take their trash for free. And I live not too far from it, practically on top of it. And sometimes people come to my house and think that this is the trash dump. It's not. You're confused. There's treasure here. There's trash down there. So today on Wednesday, I will be taking the trash down. I'll be taking the trash out to the trash facility, the dumpster facility over there, the dump, because it's free. We save about, I don't know what it is. It's $100 a month now to get trash taken. I don't know. Yeah, that's a couple chais right there at Starbucks. So we have, there's all kinds of witty, funny things I was going to talk about today. And I was thinking about them and now I can't remember what any of them are. So I guess you're not going to get the witty, funny stuff. This morning I was going over some things. I've been poring over some videos, YouTube videos. Didn't have a chance to do as much analysis and scouring of the interwebs this week as I would like to. Now today's a really busy day. I mean, I have a whole lot of time to listen to a lot. Tomorrow is not as busy, but I do have some things I need to get done. and of course, then there's Friday. And then we're right back into Saturday, which I take off again on Saturday, but I digress. So, busy time for everybody. I know this time of year, everybody just has busy lives. And, you know, it's hard for everybody to really be in tune and in touch with all the details of things that are going on. And that's the purpose of this show, is to kind of summarize everything that's going on out there, give you an idea of what's happening in the news. At least my perspective on it. There's a whole lot more going on than what I report on this channel. I'm not a reporter, really. I just tell you kind of what's in the news. I'm not reporting the news. I'm telling you what the news people are saying. And they're just telling you what their bosses are telling them to say about the news. So it's a crazy mess out there, folks. For the most part, most news doesn't affect anybody's personal life much at all on a day-to-day basis. However, when you go to put gas in your pump, when you go to pump gas in your car, I should say, that might make a difference. It might make a difference in your life. However, just the last thing I was listening to here was the deposition that Anthony Fauci gave before Congress, I guess, and I believe Senator Rand Paul was one of the people who was asking questions. They had some lawyers asking questions. This guy, he's one of those people. Anthony Fauci is one of those people who thinks that he's the smartest person in the room. He thinks he can play these mind games and make the right statements and weasel his way out of all the things. He can justify anything. See, these people, the very core example of this is when he came out and said, no one should be wearing a mask. Downplaying like, oh, nobody should be walking around wearing a mask. You might protect you from a droplet. First of all, he's a virologist. I am not. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm also not a financial counselor or a fly fisherman. But I have a microphone, and I do listen to these people. And I have some, you know, a relative amount of common sense and understanding here. And 2 + 2, regardless of what you think, it's 5. That's the programmer's telling me that. 2 + 2 is 4. It always has been, it always will be. Well, this is interesting. I keep getting these weird emails. So, the this idea that we can have some common sense and just put two and two together here. Anthony Fauci comes out in this deposition. They're asking him questions, and I've never seen someone weasel and wiggle their way around questions the way he has. He doesn't recall. He doesn't recall anything.
Well, that was 8 years ago, and I don't recall. I don't recall that. I may have met that person. I don't know who that person is. First, it starts off with, I don't know who that person is. And then it's, well, there might have been at that meeting. Somebody might have taken a picture with me, you know, because people, you know, they get in those groups and it's just like it's one big celebration. You know, they're just all standing around just, hey, I don't know any of these people. Let's just start taking pictures with each other.
Oh, yeah, hey, come over here. You take a picture with me. I'll take a picture of you with me, and me with you. And I don't know who you are. I'm not even going to know your name. We're not going to be formally introduced because I don't want to know who you are, even though my organization is giving you hundreds of millions of dollars to alter viruses.
It's not gain of function. We changed the definition. It's a slippery slope to call it gain of function. We decided not to call it that anymore.
So he can't recall these people's names, but then when he's asked details about these people, how do you, the lawyer is incredibly, incredibly sharp. The people asking him these questions. I think it was both Rand Paul and Rand Paul's lawyer. He goes after him and he starts asking, so how do you pronounce this guy's name?
Yeah, that's correct pronunciation.
Oh, so you... Now, he didn't trip him up on it. He didn't say, oh, so you do know him. He didn't go there. He just made it very clear. Oh, so you know how to pronounce his name. Was he receiving funding from the NIA, whatever?
Yes, he was.
Oh, you know that too. But you don't recall who this guy is. You don't know anything about him. Did you sign this paper here authorizing an exemption to gain-of-function research pause?
Well, the pause was, you know, we put a pause because we were trying to determine U.S. strategy and U.S. policy on this.
But there was exemptions to that.
Yes, there were exemptions, but I don't know any of those exemptions. So the ones, did you sign any? No, I don't recall. It was 8 years ago and I don't recall it. I can't remember.
So like this one here with your signature on it. That you did for this guy that you don't know. And it just goes on and on with this stuff. And he keeps circling around behind Fauci. He's just playing him like a fiddle. And of course, now the news media is not going to have this stuff out there. They're not going to make a big deal out of this. Anthony Fauci is the darling child of the left now. Why would he be the darling child of the left? Someone who really, if you want to put blame on someone for kind of unleashing this plague on humanity and not taking it seriously, not, you know, and being a part of this whole funding of the Wuhan lab thing. If you don't ask the question, why is the left so in love with this guy? There are some players behind the scenes, and look, folks, I'm going to just lay it on the table for you, what I think, because that's what I do here. Rand Paul, when post-deposition, he was asked some questions by the media, and he was going on about Fauci and how he's responsible for what led to He's not responsible for the people dying. He's responsible for what led to people dying. He claims it was an accident. He says that this accidentally escaped from the Wuhan lab. That's what Rand Paul said. I disagree. I do not believe it was an accident. Here is how I think this went down. I'm not going to lay out the case for it. I'm just going to lay out my hypothesis initially here. And then I will, over time, point out events and interviews, documents, things that are going to be released, I think, over the next few months as more investigations start to happen, especially as the, hopefully, will happen as the Republicans step into office in January. Now, here's how I see it happening. 2019, the economy is roaring. It is incredibly strong. However, it is just as fragile as it is strong. Now, hear me out on this. It is a fledgling strong economy. A lot of the economy was strong, or I should say a lot of the strength of the economy was based on a lot of executive orders and actions and administrative duties, things that weren't put into place yet permanently, things that weren't very well established. So the economy was strong, but it was on a very, I would say, shallow footing at that time. It could be very, very easy to upset it. Always has been, in general, has been very fragile in some ways. With regard to having our economy itself is probably always going to be strong at its core. However, it has this depth that needs to establish itself, and we've lost that footing. I think a lot of that's washed out from under us because of policies and regulation and all kinds of weird things. And this was beginning to take hold and start to come back and people starting to realize the differences between, you know, it was a very stark difference, very high, incredible contrast in our way of life 3 years ago and the way it is now. Now, the Democrats who know that they must maintain power, that is the ultimate goal. Government is their god. The politics are their religion. And they want nothing more than fame and glory and power and money. They lust for all those things. And anything it takes for them to get it, because they believe that they are the only ones who can do the job that they're doing. This happens in a lot of, this doesn't just happen in politics, folks. Why do you think Nancy Pelosi wants to clasp a hold of the Speaker of the House position for as many years as she's been there? The majority leader in the House of Representatives on the Democrat side. Why do you think she wants to cling to that power? It is a drug for her, let alone other drugs she's on. But it is a massive lust for power and control and the glamour, the importance of being in that position. And she thinks, I'm pretty sure she thinks that when she steps out, now this new guy, Joaquim, this is going to be a real interesting show if he ever becomes Speaker of the House. The interesting thing of this is that now Nancy, she's, if you look at her sitting behind, when her and Kamala are sitting behind the POTUS president making a speech, she does this weird stuff with her mouth, like she's got her tongue doing stuff with her teeth, and like that's not normal. She can operate probably just about, kind of like Weekend at Bernie's. She can probably operate almost without any kind of sense of coherency. She can get to make a speech that's just a babbling idiot, and nobody pays any attention. The media won't come down on her for that because that's Nancy Pelosi. But we have this weird, it's just weird that people like that, you know, they want to stay in power. Now, like I said, this happens even in small situations. I've known people in, name your business, name your company, name your workforce. I did a lot of work in factories when I was younger. And I've been around a lot of people who've left their job on, you know, they either got fired or they left their job, they quit on principle. Well, they're not treating me right, I'm quitting. Or they fired me today because I was doing the right thing. Okay, yeah, whatever. Maybe they did. I don't know. Seems kind of strange. Strange reason to fire you. The whole issue, though, is that once that person leaves, it's their attitude towards that company. It's very strange. It's very bizarre. That place is going down. That place isn't going to last. I don't think they realize how much I did for them. There's nobody. They don't. They're not going to understand. And 20 years later, the business is still there, as good, as strong as ever. But they thought they were a key player at that business, a key worker. They're going to have trouble now that I'm out of there. I was the only one holding that place together. Oh, you mean the 27 smoke breaks and 17 potty stops you did all day? That's what was holding the place together? That makes sense. Because you're walking around bossing everybody around, not doing your own job. That's been my experience. I've seen those very people are the ones who say that, oh, the place isn't going to hang. I was the one holding everything together. Huh, funny how it didn't fall apart when you left. It's kind of funny. They had like one day where they were trying to figure out, okay, you did that job. Okay, yeah, okay, here we go. Okay, just keep going. Okay, working. Got to build this stuff. Yeah. Now, I did leave. I've left jobs on principle. I've left at least two jobs on principle alone. One of my I just up and quit. It was a Friday. Boss said, see you Monday. I said, nope, not coming in. See ya. I just walked out the door. Didn't tell him why. It was a minimum wage, basically a barely over minimum wage job, working in a factory, running a screw gun. Am I concerned about my prospects? Not too much. Not too concerned about that situation. And the fact that they were treating me wrong, I just frankly wasn't going to put up with it. I was done. They were treating me wrong, and they knew they were treating me wrong. It wasn't going to do any good for me to tell them they were treating me wrong. They knew it. I knew it. I'm done. Walked out the door. By Monday, I had a different job. Making more money. The whole issue was I was training someone because we were way low staffed. I was one of three people in this particular line, this division, building these particular items, me and a friend of mine and another guy but they were both friends of mine. We were the only ones there running the whole show, running the whole line. You'd go over and do one position, you make everything over there, and then you go to another position, you do everything over there. We knew how to do everything on the line, all three of us. And guess what? get a new guy in there. Happens to be related to the boss. He happens to mention to me how much he's making per hour. I'm not making very much. I'm only making this much. I'm like, it's a dollar an hour more than I'm making. This is back in the day when $5 an hour was a big deal. And he was making more than $5 an hour. And I was making less than $5 an hour. I was infuriated by that. At the end of the day, I waved goodbye. All this time, I knew, let's just say there was other things going on as well. Where they were treating all three of us. I'm surprised the other two, the other two guys left then eventually too. They were there for maybe another 2 months and they realized they were being treated, how they were being treated was just wrong. That particular line, that division ended up shutting down. I don't know if it's because of us or just because of poor management. I have no idea why it went down. I didn't go down because I left. That's not what I said when I left. For me, it was just a personal thing. I wasn't going to be treated that way. Now, people have this strange mentality, though. And I have left places where I felt like, yeah, that place, that's going to fall apart now that I'm not there. I have had that urge to, those thoughts. I've had those thoughts in my head. Not very often. I think maybe one job I was in where I felt like I was the one that was. In some cases, I just wished it would collapse because they were such crappy people to work with. And seeing what they were doing behind the scenes and how they were treating their customers or what they thought of their customers, I was like, this place, how do they survive? So in the midst of all of that, we have these politicians who hang on to power. And for whatever reason, Rand Paul believes that this was an accident, that the virus escaped from the Wuhan lab. We had a booming economy in 2019. We knew that we were going into the 2020 election season. How perfectly timed could a pandemic be? Anthony Fauci, who had been working for the U.S. government for many, 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 many years, getting paid more than the president of the United States. He's the highest paid bureaucrat, making more than the director of the FBI, highest paid Democrat, politician, bureaucrat, whatever you want to call him. He's not really a politician because he didn't get elected, in the U.S. government, in the federal government. You realize there are some people in some school systems, school districts, some larger cities that are actually making more money. School administrators making more money than the president of the United States. Now this kind of stuff has been coming out recently in some larger cities, and they've been disclosing some of this information, making it public. And it's always supposed to be public, but they hide things very well. And of course, the media won't talk about it. So the economy's booming. Here it goes. It's looking like going into the 2020 elections, presidential elections, they're going to lose if they don't do something drastic. So of course, they have this inside man, Anthony Fauci. He's a Democrat. The Chinese, who have taken the beating from the U.S. because of we're trying to keep them in line in the areas of trade and the economy, and the world economy. Well, they didn't like that too well, did they? We started putting them in their place, letting them know they're not going to take charge of us, threatening their takeover of the world, which is what they're really trying to do here. China's going to eat our lunch. Come on, man. Yeah. Military leaders are now telling us that that's what's happening. The Chinese military is now a threat. We're not keeping up with what we need to keep up with what they're doing. Now, so the Chinese are threatened. The CCP, I should say, not the Chinese people necessarily. The CCP is threatened by this. So guess what they do? Well, we have this lab down there. And not only just a lab working on a virus, but a lab working on a virus that can attach itself to human beings very well. And they were actually trying to work on, this is the little dirty secret in all of this. It's very rarely talked about when anybody talks about this gain of function stuff. One of the things that they're working on is a particular genetic marker that this virus would have been able to attack certain genetic code. In other words, Caucasian Europeans or African Americans or Semitic, Persian, Asian, whatever it was. They were trying to determine certain genetic traits that can make a virus take out an entire culture. An entire, well, I'm not going to call it a race because we're all human race. An entire persuasion, genetic type. Or even distinguishing between male or female. Now, having working on that, since they're working on that, they come out with this virus, and of course, I think what was happening is they were trying to release it into society. You see, the Wuhan area has a tremendous amount of traffic in and out of there from Europe, especially Italy, which is where the outbreak initially really hit first. And that in the heart of Europe over there. And then, of course, there's a lot of traffic between here and Italy as well and here in Europe. So there's that traffic as well. So even though they could shut off China, which they didn't shut off Wuhan, by the way, interestingly enough. I believe that this is what their thought was. They're going to release this thing, get it into the world population, the U.S. population. We will shut down, keep ourselves going here. They never shut down their industry over there. They only scaled it back because people weren't buying anything. Then the buying started again. Of course, they couldn't ship anything for a while either. That was a problem. This whole thing, they didn't know how it was going to go. I don't think they necessarily had a grand master plan. I think they did have a plan, but I don't think they had an idea. They weren't sure how things, they probably had plan A, B, and C, and D, and E, because if this happens, we're going to do that. If that happens, we're going to do this. Once you release something like that into society, you don't know what's going to happen with it, especially with mutations. I think that's why the Chinese government is so strict on locking this thing down. They know what potentially it could become. I think they know more about it than we realize. Now, their attempt and what their goal was to destroy the world economy, or especially the U.S. economy, because pretty much how the U.S. economy goes, the world economy kind of follows along. We have probably one of the largest consumer economies, oil-based consumer economies in the world. In order to make it in the world's economy, you almost have to be able to trade with the U.S. and Europe, at least. So we have this raging economy. They've got to get rid of Trump. They're delirious about this guy. They got to get him out of office. They try 3 or 4 times to impeach the guy. They try to get him every day of the week on something. Walls are closing in. Something. Oh, he did. They're still after the guy. I think some ruling now has just found him guilty on a whole bunch of charges. The Trump organization or whatever, the Trump organization guilty of tax fraud of some kind or whatever they got him for. Of course, this was at a court in New York that would have probably found Paul guilty of something, you know, whatever. I'm not saying that Trump is innocent or that he's does everything perfect. But he has lawyers take care of this stuff. Doesn't say Trump is guilty of anything. It says Trump's organization is guilty. That could have very well been in people in his organization. I'm not a Trump nut here. I don't think that Trump is spotless and pure. He made some comments. I guess he did a tweet the other day about the Constitution. Now they're jumping all over that. And if you read it, you understand what he meant. But no one, including Bolton, John Bolton, who is a snake in the grass, thinks he's going to run for president in 2024. How far do you think he's going to get through that primary? John Bolton has no business being president of the United States. He has no business being in politics. That guy needs to be. I was amazed that he was in the Trump White House. And I have to believe the only reason he was there was because of the old saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I think he wanted him there because he didn't do anything that Bolton told him to do. And that's why Bolton hated him. He basically did the opposite of anything Bolton told him to do. That to me seems like that would make sense. You get this guy in here who, problem is the guy's privy to a lot of information. He's passing that information. Who knows who he's talking to and who knows what he's passing on to other people. And here he is, Bolton's on the Sunday shows, the MSNBCs, the NBCs, the CBS, ABCs, which tells you right there who this guy is. There's a guy who is a cybercrime analyst. He was in the U.S. cybercrime division. When I've seen this guy before Congress, he was before Congress and he was talking about this. He was standing up for this whole thing about how secure the election was and all this stuff. And I know that I've seen this guy somewhere before, and he was a radical left-wing guy. But I cannot figure out where I saw him in some organization or whatever he was a part of. Now, interestingly enough, he's never on Fox News. He's only on MSNBC and CNN. But he's supposedly a Republican. I start to doubt that. Now, he might be a Republican. He might be registered as one. Plenty of people have been. But they are not principled or even aware of what the Republican Party stands for, what it's supposed to be about. We have a lot of people leading the Republican Party who don't understand what the Republican Party is supposed to be about. It is absolutely shocking to me sometimes, the things that come out of their mouths. The establishment GOP is as much of an enemy to the state as the DNC is. They are two sides of the same coin. Sometimes one same side of the same coin. Sometimes just a round ball. It's just all one ball. Big ball of wax. A hairy ball of wax. There's a good picture for you. I believe this was intentional. I don't think it worked out the way they wanted it to. I don't think they implemented it the way they wanted to. It definitely had the effect that they needed. They were able to destroy the economy. We have to shut the economy down. First thing they had to do, have to shut the economy down. Shut it all down. Gee, that's kind of harsh, rash. Trump himself was like, we've never done this before. Shut the economy down? What do you mean? He actually said that. Now, he came out later and said, we did the right thing by shutting the economy down. And then I think he would recant on that now. Probably look back on that and say, no, probably shouldn't have done that. Now, Trump is also pro-vaccine. He claims that by not taking the vaccine, you're playing into their hands. I don't know what he's talking about with that. I think that Trump's pride there is getting in his way. He came out and made this statement about the Constitution, about the election and all this stuff about the election and how it needs to be, we need to... And of course, the Bolton and some of the other people are saying, "Oh, he's denying the Constitution. He's not upholding and defending the Constitution. He's not willing to uphold and defend. Nobody. He shouldn't be allowed to take the oath, and he doesn't have any place in the Republican Party. He should be kicked out of the Republican Party." Really, you're gonna kick out a former president of the United States who was elected as a Republican. You're gonna kick him out of the Republican Party. I'm telling you, what's the guy's name? Rich Dad Poor Dad. Wrote the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, and he made a lot of money on that book, and he's rich now. He's a rich dad. Let's see what we got here going on. Rich Dad Poor Dad. Is it Saki? Is that his name? Yeah, what is this guy's name? Robert Kiyosaki. Kiyosaki, I think is his name. Is that his name? Yeah, let's see. Okay. You can't see it here. Kiyosaki. He's kind of a, I would say he's not a right or left kind of political kind of guy. I would say he probably leans, in my opinion, I think he leads economically and fiscally probably more towards the Republican side. However, he's socially probably a little bit more left-leaning, which is where a lot of the world is, actually. However, he has a channel on YouTube, and I listened to it recently. Let's see if I can find the actual channel that he did or the show that he did. Yeah, let's see here. Let's go to. I know where it was. It was in here somewhere. Oh, I know. It wasn't there. It was over here. I'll have to look over there. It's go to the library and I'll go look at my saved watch later stuff. Go to my watch later playlist. I'm pretty sure it was in here. I might have erased it already. Rats. No, it was in my downloads. It was in my downloads on my phone. Anyway, I think he's got a channel on YouTube that he talks about, or maybe maybe it might not be his channel, but I think there's a couple other different investment people on there talking about investments. And he was talking about how he's friends with Trump and the Trump family. And he was talking about, he went through this little 20-minute long spiel. He does kind of a report on what's happening. He's talking about the crash that's happening. He says, right, we're in it right now. He said it's actually started this month. We're not going to feel it for a couple of months, but he said we are actually in the crash right now. And he says it's an everything bubble that's going to collapse is what he's saying. Now, I don't know. This kind of sensationalism is sometimes way off. And I don't know that this is necessarily something that I would say is, accurate. I don't know. It's his opinion. But I'm not a financial guy, so I don't know. Now, having said that, oh, I just hit my microphone. Wow, that was quite the smack there. Sorry to take out your ears. Anyway, so yes, all that being said, the virus was a planned event, and if it wasn't a planned event, they certainly used it to their advantage. There's no question about that. This is why I believe that Anthony Fauci is the darling of the left, because of the way he navigated that whole thing. They see him as the insider who was able to bring down Donald Trump, because they brought down the economy, they brought down everything that they could. On top of that, they were able to illegally change the votes. I was talking about this Saki guy. I'm sorry, Kiyosaki. One of the things he says in his speech on YouTube, he says the election was stolen. I'm surprised that video has not been taken down. I think he was able to get away with it because of the way he couched that inside of another statement. But he saw it. He saw it for what it is. Everybody can see it. Three different states' Supreme Courts have ruled that the AGs they called it unconstitutional. What they did was unconstitutional to the tune of sometimes hundreds of thousands of votes in some of those states that were illegal. They were illegal votes. Now, The question is, what should be done about this? I'm not saying we should overturn the election. I'm not saying we should have a revote. What I am saying is, someone should be held accountable for this. If anybody needs to be perp-walked over an election issue, it's the people who we trusted to uphold the law, broke the law, knowingly they did it. They knew full well what they were doing. Well, we have it's a pandemic. We have to have mail-in voting. We have to do all these things that are not according to our state's constitution, but we just have to go ahead and do it because Congress can't act on it because Congress is out of session right now. So the whole reason we have Congress is for moments like that, to keep you from stepping in and totalitarianly, unitarily, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, dictatorially. All these big words. Trying to get their way with the outcome. And they did. By golly, they did. And now it's been ruled that many of those votes were illegal. So who should be held accountable for this? What kind of accountability will there be? None. There will be none. In fact, those people got away with it once. They're going to stay in office now and continue to stay in office. Because now they've figured out the trick. Finally got their machine going now. It's all well-oiled and working very well. We just saw that down in Georgia now. The whole Warnock thing. Very, very close election. Of course, with what BCP, James, the Black Conservative Patriot on YouTube, he calls it Democrat math. They always work this out. They always comes down to just the wire, just enough, just one percentage point over what they needed for a recount. Of course, if it would go into a recount, all of a sudden, oh, look how it always changes over to the Democrat side. There's nothing hanky-panky or phony baloney going on there. No, of course not. I still have yet to see 2,000 Mules, the Dinesh D'Souza documentary. I think I need to watch it now. I think I'm at a place in life where I can settle down and watch it and not be completely off rails. But with everything I see going on right now, Klaus Mueller or whatever his name is from the World Economic Forum. I listened to a thing this morning from Prophecy Watchers. They have it's a interesting take on. Of course, they're trying to figure out, you know, the world global dominance and that kind of thing, the world government that's going to be established and how that's all going to come into play. Now, there's some interesting things that are happening with that whole economic forum thing. They're talking about, of course, hybrid human beings and all kinds of things they're working on. These people are social engineers, think that they're going to make society better. They're the ones sitting at the top that know so much about society and how they're going to turn society into this. You know, he made an interesting statement one time. He said, "You will own nothing and you'll be happy." I think the last time those words were spoken was when slavery was in full effect here in the United States. And their slave masters talked to their slaves and said, "You're going to own nothing and you're going to be happy, and that's the way it's going to be." Kind of like you're going to eat your dinner and you're going to like it. Whether you like it or not. This is kind of the mentality these people have. That's the mentality of a slave owner. You will own nothing and you'll be happy, whether you like it or not. Your car is going to go where we tell it to go. It's going to be autonomous. You're going to get in your car and it's going to self-drive itself to the workplace where you go to work. You report to work there. Do your job. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a job that's just the perfect job for you because you're going to take this test and we're going to figure out who you are. And you're going to take these pills and we're going to genetically change your children. Turn them into superhumans. We're going to have military and police forces that are completely obedient and 10 times stronger than you are. And bulletproof. And they're going to have IQs of 1,000. This is all stuff that's in print, folks. It's all stuff that they've talked about. Having superhumans with IQ of 1,000, resistant to any diseases and able to live for hundreds of years. This is their goal. This is what they genetically want to do to us. Well, not to us, but the future generations. So stop and think about it. They wouldn't need a very large population if the population is going to live for that long. Because their goal is to become gods themselves and to have immortality here on Earth. See, when you don't believe there's a hereafter, life after this life, you pretty much are going to do everything you can to maintain this life. They're trying. They're struggling with that, but they're working on it. It motivates you to do a lot of things. But I digress. There is a report. I heard this report came out. I know that there's this one movie, this documentary that came out, and it was Sudden Death, called Sudden Death. It was posted on Rumble. If you get a chance to watch it, it's actually on Rumble. YouTube would never allow it. It is on Rumble, and it's really good. It's some good information, some good testimony, some good documentary type. But it's very narrow in its scope. It doesn't go very far. And part of the reason it can't go far is because, unfortunately, communication between doctors and the ability to put out published information is very limited because it gets censored, it gets tossed aside and regulated by the powers that be. And the morticians, the people who are doing the embalming and doing autopsies, are finding very strange issues with the blood. The embalmers are finding very strange issues with blood of vaccinated individuals. And they're trying to get some research on this. They're trying to get someone to pay attention to what's happening here. They're not getting anyone's attention. Nobody wants to touch it because we can't go against this. Now, the Republicans right now are pushing for zero mandates, basically making vaccine mandates illegal, period. Especially in the military. Military is a mess right now. What they're trying to do with the whole vaccine mandate and how they're trying to divide people and separate people out because you have these who have gotten the vaccine, those who haven't. Basically, it's those who will comply and those who won't. It goes beyond just the whole vaccine issue. They don't care about the disease anymore. How many service people died because of COVID? Has there ever been a statistic on that? Have you ever looked at that at all? Be interesting to find out. Maybe I can find out for you. In fact, while I was talking, I was just typing in some things. This is fascinating. This is stuff from Newsweek, military.com, militarytimes.com. More military service members committed suicide July through September 2021 than have ever died from coronavirus. More of them in one quarter, July through September. July, August, and September of 2021, more service members committed suicide than have ever died from coronavirus. I don't know when this article was published. I can't find about this on this. What is the date on this thing? This may have been October 9th, 2020. No, that's not right. This was 2021. That was a picture of something there. Yeah, I'd have to dig into the information on this thing to find out what the actual date of the published 11,000 views. April 7th, 2022. That's when it was, I believe. Is that right? No, that's something else. Ah, can't find it. Should be right here. Let's see if I can find the page source. There's no date on there. Yeah, it probably is. It's buried in the code somewhere. Don't know where that is. Not going to go after that too much. I don't see a date. It's got to be a date. I don't see it. Anyway. Oh, here it is. Published January 11th, 2022. January 11th, 2022. Yeah, it was stuck there in a little thing there. This is that's kind of interesting. So more service members died in that one quarter than ever died from coronavirus. Military COVID-19 deaths double in 2 months. Now, this was published September 24th, 2021. Megan Myers. So we went from 26 members. It took more than a year for 26 service members to die of COVID-19, even as the pandemic raged through the country. It took 2 months for that death toll to double this summer. Here's the creepy part about that. This is after the vaccines. To date, 52 troops have died from COVID-19 complications. None of them have been fully vaccinated. In other words, one shot. Major Charlie Diaz, Pentagon spokesman, told Military Times on Wednesday. The total is up 6 from the previous week, after more than a year in which generally one or two service members died each month. August saw 8 deaths, and September has seen 9 so far. And our entire military is being forced to take the vaccine with numbers like that. That's smaller than the normal population. It's amazing to me what they're doing. All this stuff. Now, here's another one. This one I think is even more shocking. COVID deaths in U.S. military spike in the last 4 months despite 96% being vaccinated. COVID deaths, not cases. Deaths over the 18 months between March 2020 and August 21, America's armed forces experienced 43 deaths attributed to COVID-19 over the past 4 months. Now, keep in mind, when they say complications from COVID or associated with COVID, attributed to COVID, did they have another problem and COVID was the thing that did them in? Was it a comorbidity situation? I guarantee you it probably was. There are people in the military who have diabetes. There are people in the military who are overweight, have other health problems. Some of them have cancer. So yes, this is much smaller rate. Over the past 4 months, from September through December, the military has seen the same number of deaths, according to a report from the Pentagon reviewed last week. This increase in military deaths comes despite the fact that 96% of the active duty soldiers being fully vaccinated, a memo by the Pentagon states. The Omicron variant has emerged as the dominant strain of COVID-19 in the United States, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported in December 20. Deaths have increased at a far less rapid rate, increasing by only 16%. So they've increased by a far less rapid rate. There's an 82% uptick in hospitalizations. This is on vaccinated individuals. This goes along with what Dr. Malone was saying with regard to what's happening with the immunity based on booster shots. We're having a hard time getting people into the military right now. They're down. People aren't signing up right now. Why aren't they? So, I'll leave you with that. The numbers don't warrant this idea that they have to continue this mandatory vaccination thing. In fact, I think it's outright irresponsible and dangerous at this point. a lot of the issues that stem from the vaccine are after 6 months after the vaccination itself. It just seems hysterical to me. The hysteria is off the charts. But I digress. Here's an article. This might be interesting. This is Snopes, of course. Have more military personnel die from COVID vaccines than the disease itself. In the first 6 weeks, it was available online, a video claiming as much garnering 900,000 views. U.S. military nurse on White House grounds, blah, 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 blah. Snipes is still fighting. Infodemic of rumors and misinformation around the COVID-19 pandemic. And you can find help here, blah, 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 blah. This is like a thing. Key facts, there is no verifiable evidence that COVID-19 vaccines have killed or will kill more military personnel than the disease itself. They wouldn't tell you if it did. Now, we're running into all kinds of serious issues here with this whole thing. And it's not necessarily going to, if somebody dies 8 months after they've had the vaccine, are they going to attribute that to the vaccine? No, of course not. There is a report now that's been put out, but I didn't think this was real until I heard it actually come across the AP, and it came from a couple other sources. This is a peer-reviewed report now from Europe, where they have found that there's something called sudden death. That's the documentary. The other one Died Alone, I think is what it's called. They're finding that there are people who they have been that were died that died after the vaccination, within a week after the vaccination at home, and nobody they were found dead at home for no explicable reason other than they just had the vaccination. Those deaths were not attributed to the vaccine. They were not put on the VARS list for some reason. However, all of this data now has been compiled and realizing that this is the only common denominator. The deaths are far greater than what they had thought. So how do you know? I mean, people in the military die every day. There's health problems, there's health issues, people have accidents, people have complications. It's always happened, but it is up almost 20% from what it was. So what we're being told now that this whole Twitter thing and Anthony Fauci and the lawyer, James Baker, who was working for Twitter, who was also testifying in the Trump impeachment trial, has been fired. He's been fired from Twitter now. Probably he was at the core of going after Trump, and that's at the core of all the censorship. Completely involved with politicians and politics and the getting of Donald Trump. See, the thing, and here's the thing about Donald Trump. This is my thing. He was not part of the establishment. He wasn't playing the games that the establishment does. No matter what you think of the guy, now Kanye West, I was starting to think that he was a lot more articulate than what I realized. He was able to speak some things that I was like, that some of the stuff he was saying was, yeah, this guy's actually got his act together here. He's a deep thinker. He can't communicate things, his thoughts very well. He's not like a Jordan Peterson kind of guy, but he's a deep thinker. And then he starts getting, he's gone off the rails. Now, my opinion is, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and they said they know some people who are like in the banking world and high up in management situations, and a lot of people are on Adderall. They use it because it gives them focus. And they'll use it to increase they think it's increasing their brain power, their ability to perform at high levels, because they can focus on things better. However, at the end of the day, they go down from this stuff and then they turn into zombies. Anybody who's on this stuff for very long or who's on it and depends on it is starts to become wacky after a while. And that's, they think that this guy has all the traits. Kanye has all the traits of that and some other Ritalin type of medications. They use it and they tend to abuse it because they become dependent on it. Can't function without it. I don't know if that's what's happening or not, but that's what somebody told me. They said this has all the earmarks of that. All the earmarks. Speaking of all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how all this pans out in the next few months. See what happens when the Republicans step into office. They've got the House. They don't have the Senate. I blame Mitch McConnell for that. Where was Mitch McConnell during all the election stuff?
Well, you know, we don't have any quality candidates. We don't have any quality candidates. All we have is all these MAGA people out here. Donald Trump has no business in the Republican Party. If he sits down to dinner with these kinds of people, there's no room for him in the Republican Party.
Yeah, Mitch, there's no room for you in the Senate anymore. You need to leave. It's time to go, Mitch. Mitch, wake up, Mitch. Mitch, Schumer, Pelosi, as far as I'm concerned, McCarthy. Y'all need to go. Just go. Just go away. Let's put some people in there who actually understand what the Constitution is about, what individual liberty means, what the founders were doing with this country, what the experiment's all about. Because it's all about you and you guys and your power. And we're sick and tired of that. At least I am. I don't know about any of the rest of you, but I'm going to tell you, I'm sick of it. Sick of the games they play with our lives, the way they game the system, the way they take our money, squander it, spend it before we even make it. They're turning us into slaves and we haven't even signed up for that. It's amazing to me. Once again, folks, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for being here. With your ear listening, it's always good to know. When I look on my, I click on my little tab and I see my little numbers going up in terms of listenership, that's always kind of helpful. It's always a little encouraging. And I have to say that the last couple weeks, I've had some pretty high numbers. And I do appreciate that. So once again, folks, thanks for listening. Have a great day, and I guess I probably should have my bumper music coming in here at some point, right? Shouldn't I? That would probably be a good idea, because that's part of the ending of the show. Otherwise, you won't know it's done. I'll just stop talking, and you'll go, "Where's the ending music?" And you'll sit there listening to your device for the rest of the day, wondering when it's going to end. Probably be better content, actually, if you just sat there and listened to it that way. Yeah. But you get what you pay for here, so keep that in mind. Once again, folks, keep praying for the nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for Donald Trump. Whether you like him or not, they are after this guy. They are attacking this guy. And frankly, I find that appalling. I wouldn't like it if they attacked Schumer that way, necessarily. It's unfair at some point. It's illegal. Pray for each other. Pray for the nation. God bless everybody. Have a great day.